Topic 161, Speech. 1. One of the greatest instruments for practical development, lying in the hands of small and great, is the instrument of speech. He who guards his words and who only speaks with altruistic purpose in order to carry the energy of love through the medium of the tongue is one who is mastering rapidly the initial steps to be taken in preparation for initiation. Speech is the most occult manifestation in existence. It is the means of creation and the vehicle of force. In the reservation of words, esoterically understood, lies the conservation of force. In the utilization of words, justly chosen and spoken, lies the distribution of the love force of the solar system, that force which preserves, strengthens, and stimulates. Only he who knows somewhat of these two aspects of speech can be trusted to stand before the initiator and to carry out from that presence certain sounds and secrets imparted to him under the pledge of silence. The disciple must learn to be silent in the face of that which is evil. He must learn to be silent before the sufferings of the world, wasting no time in idle complaints and sorrowful demonstration, but lifting up the burden of the world, working and not wasting energy in talk. Yet he should speak where encouragement is needed, using the tongue for constructive ends, expressing the love force of the world as it may flow through him, where it will serve best to ease a load or lift a burden. Remembering that as the race progresses, the love element between the sexes and its expression will be translated to a higher plane. Then, through the spoken word, and not through the physical plane expression as now, will come the realization that true love, which unites those who are one in service and in aspiration. Then love between the units of the human family will take the form of the utilization of speech for the purpose of creating on all planes, and the energy which now in the majority finds expression through the lower or generating centers will be translated to the throat center. This is as yet but a distant ideal, but even now some can vision that ideal and seek through united service, loving cooperation, and oneness in aspiration, thought, and endeavor, to give shape and form to it, even though inadequately, from Initiation, Human and Solar, pages 74 through 75. 2. The disciple who seeks to enter within the portals of initiation cannot do so until he has learned the power of speech and the power of silence. Until a man comprehends the significance of the spoken word, and until he utilizes the silence of the high places for the bringing about of desired effects on one plane or another, he cannot be admitted into those realms wherein every sound and every word spoken produces powerful results in matter of some kind. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 198. 3. The occult significance of speech. The greater the progress that is made along the path of approach to the mysteries, the greater the care that must be taken by the aspirant with speech. This is necessary for three reasons. First, owing to his stage in evolution, he is able to enforce his words in a manner which would surprise him could he but see on the mental plane. He builds more accurately than the average man. His subsequent thought form is more strongly vitalized, and it performs the function whereon it is sent by the sound or speech with greater precision. Second, any word spoken and consequent thought form built, unless along the higher path and not based on personality impulses, is apt to cause a barrier of mental matter between a man and his goal. This matter, or separating wall, has to be dissipated before further advance can be made. Third, speech is very largely a mode of communication on the physical levels, on the subtler levels whereon the worker stands, and in his communications with his fellow workers and chosen cooperators, it will play an ever-lessening part. Intuitive perception and telepathic interplay will distinguish the intercourse between aspirants and disciples. If man succeeds in understanding the significance of speech, if he learns how to speak, when to speak, what is gained by speech, and what happens when he speaks, he is well on the way to achieving his goal. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, pages 977 through 978. 4. Every good speaker is doing a most occult work. A good lecturer, for instance, is one who is doing work that is analogous on smaller scale to that by the solar logos. What did he do? He thought, he built, he vitalized. A lecturer, therefore, segregates the material with which he is going to build his lecture and which he is going to vitalize. Out of all the thought matter of the world, he gathers together the substance which he individually seeks to use. Next, he copies the work of the second logos in wisely building it into form. He constructs the form, and then, when it is constructed, he finishes up by playing the part of the first person of the Trinity, putting his spirit, vitality, and force into it, so that it is a vibrant, living manifestation. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 979. 5. In physical plane manifestation, we are known by our speech. We are known by our reticence, by the things we say, and by the things we leave unsaid, and are judged by the quality of our conversation. We think of people in terms of what they say, because their words disclose the type of thought matter in which they work and the quality of energy or life which they put behind their words. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 980. 6. Through speech, a thought is evoked and becomes present. It is brought out of abstraction and out of a nebulous condition, and materialized upon the physical plane, producing, could we but see it, something very definite on etheric levels. Speech is one of the keys which opens the doors of communication between men and subtler things, but only he who has learned to keep silent and has arrived at the knowledge of the times to speak can pass this veil and make certain esoteric contacts. Magic consists, we are told in the secret doctrine, in addressing the gods in their own language. Therefore, the speech of average man cannot reach them. Therefore, those who seek to learn the occult language, those who yearn to become aware of the words which will penetrate to the ears of those who stand on the other side, and those who seek to utilize the formula and phrases which will give them the power over the builders, have to unlearn their previous use of words and to refrain from ordinary methods of talking. Then the new language will be theirs, and the new expressions, words, mantrams, and formulas will be entrusted to their care. From A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 981. 7. The purpose of all speech is to clothe thought and thus make our thoughts available for others. When we speak, we evoke a thought and make it present, and we bring that which is concealed within us into audible expression. Speech reveals, and right speech can create a form of beneficent purpose, just as wrong speech can produce a form which has a malignant objective. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 143. 8. In the final analysis, the main problem of the world government is the wise use of ideas. It is here that the power of speech makes itself felt, just as in the department of religion or of education, the power of the written word, of the printed page, is felt. In the field of politics, the masses are swayed by orators, and never more so than now through the use of the radio. great ideas are dinned into the ear of the public without cessation. Theories as to dictatorship, communism, Nazism, fascism, Marxism, nationalism, and democratic ideals. Methods of rule by this or that group of thinkers are presented to the public, leaving them no time for consideration or for clear thinking. Racial antipathies are spread, and personal preferences and illusions find expression, bringing about the deception of the unthinking. The man who has a golden tongue, the man who has the gift of playing with words and can voice with emphasis people's grievances, the juggler in statistics, the fanatic with a certain and sure cure for social ills, and the man who loves to fan race hatreds can ever get a following. Such men can with facility upset the balance of the community and lead a body of unthinking adherents to a transient success and power, or to oblivion. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1, Esoteric Psychology 1, pages 179 through 180. 9. Let each of you gain that control of speech which has often been your goal, but seldom your achievement, and remember that the most powerful factor in the control of speech is a loving heart. Wild and fearful talk, hateful gossip, cruel innuendo, suspicion, the ascribing of wrong and wicked motives to persons and peoples, and the divergences of attitude which have separated the many different nations in the world are rampant today and have brought the world to its present distressing situation. It is so easy to drift into the same habits of speech and thought which we find around us and to discover ourselves participating in attack and the spirit of hate. Guard yourselves strenuously against this, and say nothing which could inflame hate and suspicion in connection with any race, any person, any group, or any leaders of groups and nations. You will have to guard yourselves with care, so that even in defense of that which you may personally or nationally approve, you do not find yourselves full of hate and breaking the law of love, the only law which can truly save the world. Perhaps the key to your success along this line will be the silence of a loving heart. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 82. 10. Still another deciding factor with me is to test out your ability to keep silent until it is no longer necessary to do so. Silence is one of the prime prerequisites for initiation, and something which every disciple must perforce learn. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 78. 11. Learn to know when to speak and when to be silent, remembering that the elimination of possessiveness and of self-reference will reduce speech to its spiritual essentials. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 551.